I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and this is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. There must have been a eureka moment back in the late 1800s when, investigating an infection in the French wine industry, Louis Pasteur happened upon the discovery of microorganisms. He must have felt that jolt of thrill of realizing that he'd stumbled upon something really monumental. He was perfectly aware of the concurrent research being conducted by rival French scientists, including the extraordinary Antoine Béchamp and even Pasteur's great friend Claude Bernard. The separator of the waters between them, something that came to be as contentious as the war of the currents between Tesla and Edison, was that his scientific rivals had reached the opposite conclusion. The body does not get sick as a consequence of an invasion of microbes from outside, but is instead sick in the internal system of the organism. Microbes appear as a consequence, not the cause of disease. Pasteur's self-marketing won the day, however, and his discovery underlies all of the paranoia and fear around contagions. Calming pandemic hysteria, today on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head.
True illness is the attempt to create what was never meant to exist. Norberto Cappi.
Disinverting the human being and society. This is the Stop Radio Network.
Welcome back to Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network, in Spotify, iTunes podcasts, everywhere good podcasts are heard. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. And I'm with Dr. Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco, and I've been talking all week, last week too, about this coronavirus in my classes. And there's something that struck me. I was asking my students today, because there's such a hysteria around this, Claudia. They've closed Italy, closed the borders. I've heard stories of executive travel in the United States being canceled for the next month and a half. There are companies in New York, I understand, suggesting that their people don't come to the office. So I think there's like, I wanted to try to get to the mentality behind this, not the conspiracy theory, but the thinking, although maybe a conspiracy too, that's certainly possible, but the mindset that makes this fear escalate like you're lighting a match to gasoline. There's a scientific theory and mentality that's behind all of this, putting alcohol gel on our hands 20 times a day, recommending we don't shake hands anymore, or that restaurant tables are separated by more distance, and companies forcing people to work from home. I wanted to try to come to this science that's behind this, because I think this is a fundamental point. If there wasn't this scientific view, we wouldn't be following all of this advice so easily and doing all of the things that are supposed to be done to protect us. So in an article you wrote in our latest newspaper, you talked about this as being disease as an attitude, as a philosophy of life, and how Dr. Kepi has introduced this innovative concept that our diseases come from attitudes we adopt in life. They don't have an existence in themselves. Could we start there? Would that be a good place to start? I notice you're making notes furiously as I speak. So that's
no, because great. I don't want to lose my...
Yeah, your train of thought, of
yeah.
course.
I think, Richard, when we speak about this epidemics... Hmm. And about health and people interested about health, we enter in an area which is very much dangerous, like because it increases or triggers the feelings of paranoia of people.
This is for sure.
Yeah. So we could speak about the sociopathological point of view. Social point of view, and the psychopathological or psychoenergetic point of view, and then discuss a little bit about health, what gives us health, physical, mental, and long-term lives, yeah. if you're going to live longer or not,
yeah.
how these things work.
Because one of the things I've noticed, Claudia, is that the when they focus on these pandemics or epidemics, they focus on the two aspects that are part of the what they consider the science of epidemic medicine, the virus or the thing that's supposed
viruses,
to...
Viruses, yeah, bacteria.
Yeah. And the means of transmission. Okay, this time it's through the... They say through the bats, whatever it is, through the blood.
This is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous, of course, but whatever it is that's bringing it. But they never talk very often in the media about the third part, which is the susceptibility of the host, person who accepts the... So this is the part you want to
get
to.
When you see a movement like what you said in China, now in Italy, and all over the world, the organization of... OMS.
The World Health Organization.
Yeah. And all the media involved. You can sense that there is something much bigger behind. In this situation where you find a virus that is much less harmful and lethal than the other ones.
H1N1,
the
swine flu.
Yeah, all this.
Yeah, the Ebola.
It's much more dangerous, if you want to say that. This is much softer in terms of danger, of harm that it could create. And the cases, the vast majority of people that died for other reasons. Yeah. Like 70% or something like this are older than 80. They are older people that have already diseases. They are weak. So what could you say? They could have something that would weaken a little bit their immune system, and they would die for other reasons. Very, very few young people could die of this coronavirus. Children, we don't have any case of children dying of this coronavirus. So you see that there is something behind. Some people investigate or they wonder, would this be because this power of the world, this elite, the economic powerful and the political powerful, what might be their interest in doing this, causing this hysteria all over the world with something that is so innocuous? Almost no children died of this disease.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's the system is the whatever it is attacking the people who are older,
and they are sick already,
and sick already, weakened already, and there's no way really to even prove that it's the virus that killed them. It could be something else that killed them. I mean, they could have died because they were weakened. It's like AIDS.
So, what could be their interest?
What could be the interest
of these
powerful?
To play with the stock market?
Yeah.
To bring the stock market down.
This is happening.
And manipulate the stocks, buy them when they are very, very cheap, and then later on have all the power.
Which happened in 1929 is exactly what happened.
And they say China got an enormous advantage of this crisis because they were top number one news in the world, and they gained a lot of money with this. First. Second, they bought the stocks of the companies that are installed in China. And they had several companies, European, American companies.
And that they bought for, you say in Brazil, the price of a banana, right?
Yeah. Now so they took the power of most of the companies inside China.
I've heard that too.
So this is one, some people comment on this. They can hide other major problems with this. They can hide recession. They can hide climate change problems, horrible problems we are facing in the planet. They can hide many, many other problems, like oil going down and the crisis of oil. So they hide everything with this.
Yeah, because everybody's attention is focused only on this and everything else is forgotten, lost, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They can stop the velocity of the production if it's like a huge bubble in this global market, and they don't know how to bring things down with the speculation and this bubble. This is the best way to bring this bubble down. If they shut off all activities in the country's economy, it needs to stop. To stop producing, to stop selling, stop the stock market. So this is a way to deal with bubbles.
Yeah, they call
economic
it
bubbles.
To cool off the market, right?
To one cool of the ways off the market.
Yeah, because it's just too inflationary. It's too
exactly.
Going too fast, yeah.
So they can do a lot of things using this. And never, they will never say the real reason for this. Now we have the other side of the coin, which is the people. And how psychopathology enters in this game, which is people normally, they suffer from this problem of nocebo, is the opposite of placebo.
We call this an inverted placebo, I think.
Inverted placebo,
yeah.
Which is if you think or if you are afraid of becoming ill, you generate an energy inside of your organism that will create symptoms and create diseases.
Let me tell you specifically how that happens, because I've experienced that in my own life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll give you two examples. When Dr. Roberto Giraldo was here, an infectologist, a specialist in infectious medicine, he said that in Mexico, when they had the outbreak of the swine flu, mm-hmm. the president of Mexico went on the radio,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "We have a serious problem, and here are the symptoms." Within 3 hours, all the hospitals were full. Because once you mention the symptom, you start thinking you have it. I used to work on medical translations here, Claudia, when we had a translation company. And I would, if I got a translation about breast cancer or arthritis, things that I don't have, I could do easily. But if I got a translation about prostate problems, and they started to say, well, you know, sometimes difficulties urinating at night, sometimes you wake up two or three times, and I start thinking, oh, gee, that's sometimes that happens to me. Maybe I have a prostate problem. I'm not kidding you. It's exactly what happens. The suggestion of the
yes.
symptom,
yes.
if you're susceptible, you start to follow that. Oh, my God, I'm
And do you
I have
realize
cancer.
This is energetic?
This is a?
Energetic.
Totally energetic.
It's energy. Energy of thoughts, energy of feelings. This is energy. And so if then you ask me, come on, Claudia. So there are symptoms that can be faked. But what about the other diseases? They are real or they are suggestions? So then we come to a major point. All diseases, they come from distortions of energy. These distortions of energy, they can be created by our own thoughts, feelings. Most of them are created by this energetic distortions, from tumors to diabetes to circulatory problems.
Autoimmune diseases, obviously.
Even more autoimmune diseases, infections. Infections. You could say that a healthy organism, well-balanced, energetically well-balanced, has all the means they need to keep healthy, keep in good form.
Yeah, of course.
There is no disease, even, look, pay attention, even microorganisms, even... I'm not speaking about bacteria, because we will speak about bacteria in the understanding of bacteria and viruses. But you can name like this germs in terms of small organisms.
Invading the body.
Parasites. They can, and they do invade the body of many people many times, but some people have defenses and expel this organism, this foreign organism. And other people don't. And this invaders, they end up by being expelled in some cases or creating their own kind of environment inside the body and creating symptoms and diseases. So what I'm saying is that a healthy organism has defenses enough, should have, by nature, to protect themselves. Now, energetic things or things that bring down our energy, our energetic balance, they can not only create diseases inside our bodies by ourselves, our own organism, create diseases, tumors and all these other diseases, cancer, pneumonia, all. Or they can receive like a hostage from outside, which is a stranger and can
take
for
over.
Sure take over,
take over
the organism.
The system.
The system. Now, let's speak a little bit about bacteria and viruses. Are the bacteria real? Do they harm us or they don't? In the late 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, some geniuses like Dr. Bichon, Enderlein.
Antoine Bichon.
Antoine Claude Bichon.
Enderlein.
Enderlein and Nissen are three major names.
And Claude Bernard, too, right? Bernard.
Claude Bernard, he was also a genius, and he was the main developer of this notion of the milieu antérieur.
Yep, the interior milieu, the interior
environment.
Environment, yeah.
Yeah. So they, all of those scientists, through their researches in this dark field microscopes, what did they see? They found out we have very important elements in our being called microzymas.
Microzymes, I think. This is Antoine Béchamp's name, microzymes.
Yes. And they have other names for this, but it's the same element. It's like a basic brick of all beings. You can find this also in vegetables, in plants, even in stones, in minerals. It's like a basic brick, energetic brick of life.
I think Béchamp called it the third element of the blood. Right? Mm-hmm.
You don't find it only in the blood.
No.
You find it everywhere.
Yeah.
But in the blood they are present.
Yeah.
So these elements, if our organism is threatened, they develop themselves to protect our bodies and to expel the
intruder, I guess.
Intruders or the danger or the symptom, what is going wrong. For instance, if you have a red blood cell that is energetically deformed, they can deform their membrana. Mm-hmm. They can adapt themselves, try to adapt themselves to this change in the energy of the blood. So they deform themselves. And these microzymas, they go inside the red cell. We call it in Portuguese hemácias, ou glóbulos vermelhos.
The red blood cells, yeah.
And they enter the hemácia or the glóbulos vermelhos, yeah. And they reestablish the balance. If they cannot do this, they dissolve. They help to dissolve this sick hemácia or the sick
cell
of the blood.
Yeah.
So they have a role to correct or to destroy what is wrong. These microzymas, they can develop into bacteria. And this development is achieved or is happens inside the body, not outside.
Right.
So
as a response to something.
A response, a defense. It's a development, like the viruses also. They are a development, energetic development of the body to try to reestablish the balance in the harmony of the body. That's why when you hear people saying he was infected by some bacteria, This idea of being infected by something coming from outside came from Pasteur.
Yeah.
And this led to the creation of the big pharma. The chemicals, they say, they use or they claim heals people.
Yeah, to fight the invading bacteria or virus or fungus or
yes
germ.
Because when you are sick because of some energetic imbalance and your body is threatened, the body creates bacteria to try to defend. So they invert the cause for the symptom.
Yeah.
They invert.
Yeah.
They see something causing the disease and the symptoms. Bacteria causes the disease or the symptom.
Yeah.
And not that they are present in the sick organism.
Yeah. The organism is sick. Well, this is what I was talking about at the beginning.
So
this is the
bacteria
mentality.
Are a consequence,
yes.
Not a cause.
Yes, yes. This is what I was getting at before, this mentality we have that's adding to this incredible fire, forest fire of ideas, you know, like throwing gas on the fire, is this idea, that the inverted idea that the disease is something from outside invading
yes,
us.
Yes, for sure, paranoia.
And, yeah, big paranoia.
And this paranoia creates an
more
energetic
disease.
Imbalance.
Yeah, yeah.
And people get sick,
yeah.
Really get sick.
You can see that.
And you have the symptoms. And then you can develop bacteria inside your body to try to reestablish
the balance, yes. We've seen these microzymes in some of the films that have been made in our psychosomatic department here of the blood, where through this dark field microscope, you see the red blood cells and the white blood cells. By the way, a person who's very... let's say, energetically blocked, their white blood cells are almost not moving.
Yes.
There's almost no activity there. They're almost stopped. So mm-hmm. You could suggest that means that their immune system is not operating at full capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's these little microzymes. They look like little specks of light vibrating and moving in the blood. And the healthier the person, as I understand it, the more we see this microzyme activity you're talking about, which is to repair
mm-hmm.
or to fix the system. And if the system is particularly sick, those microzymes can't do their job or they begin to act against the body. Is that what you're suggesting?
Not against.
Not against. Never.
Not never.
Okay.
Symptom is always an attempt to reestablish balance.
Okay, all right.
De milieu intérieur.
All right.
To reestablish the balance of the milieu antérieur,
yeah,
which Claude Bernard used to speak about.
The interior environment, the environment of the organism. Yeah,
and the root is always energetic.
So we never have an autoimmune disease is when the body begins to attack itself.
Yes.
In order to try to restore
yes.
some kind of balance.
Yeah.
Got it.
Which is most of the time is... psychological, sometimes psychosocial, like this idea of pandemia is a psychosocial disease, creating diseases to people
yeah.
because it involves the resonance of more people and the environment, like an atom bomb. It creates an energetic imbalance
yeah.
and it can hit your body
yeah.
drastically.
Yeah.
Because of this intoxication, but it's always involving energy. Now, the defenses, they come always from within. And the energetic imbalance, most of the time, comes from within. And here, we remember what Jesus Christ said. It's not what you eat and what comes from outside to your inside, like... what you eat, what you take in, but it's mostly what you say, what comes from within
yeah,
to
goes
out.
Out, yeah.
Goes out
yeah.
from you.
In verbal or emotional, energetic.
Exactly that. So this is the root and the key and the wisdom to understand the true medicine. The true medicine.
Medicine of the soul, as Dr. Kepi calls it.
Yes.
And healing through consciousness, as
yes.
you call it.
Yes, and energetic medicine, if you may say it
yeah.
also.
Yeah. So our media is playing a very, very bad role.
Horrible.
Here.
Yeah. The media, the authorities, this panic. I can tell you, these people falling sick one after the other, it's mostly because of this resonance, resonating energy that comes from, and they contaminate this. Sure. These sure. ideas contaminate.
It's like a Woody Allen movie, you know. Woody Allen, he reads about a new symptom, uh-huh. and he suddenly starts thinking, oh, my God, I have cancer. He takes the job, you know. It's kind of, he does it as a comedy. Uh-huh. But it's like this. The human being is like that. You read about a symptom, and then you start to vibrate with that condition.
And as we said here one time, Richard, or more than one time, doctors, they tend to die or to develop a disease that they are experts in.
Yeah.
They study that. They live with people that have this disease, so they kind of resonate with this, and many of them end up by developing this kind of disease.
What we're talking about here are the false foundations of medicine based on Pasteur, who maintained that disease comes from an invasion of microbes from outside. What's been erased from medical science is the incredible work of scientists like Antoine Bechamp and Gunther Enderlein and Claude Bernard, who collectively concluded the opposite. Disease comes from a weakening of the internal environment. A lost chapter in biology, it's been called, and this scientific wisdom is being rescued now by Norberto Kepi. Exactly what we need now to calm the paranoia and fear of pandemics. That's our program for this time. Talk to you next week on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head.